Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Brown's direction, that's the conversation. Where do you go from here? And to talk about it all, well, there's a guy who has been in these shoes before. He's been in these meetings, in these conversations on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's former NFL GM now, the president of football operations for Sumer Sports, Thomas Dimitrioff. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. We just had a Donnybrook. We're going to let that thing simmer here. But I'm curious, because a lot of the conversation about where the Browns go from here is about how competitive do you try and stay, knowing this Deshaun contract is coming due here pretty soon. So, like, in terms of the next, 18 months, does it maybe make more sense for the Browns to move on from some veteran contracts, get younger, even if that means taking a step back on the field?
Look, personally, I think, you know, you guys know this. I mean, there are some very smart people in that organization. We know Andrew Berry's ability. He's a very smart guy. He's got Bob Quinn there, one of the best personnel evaluators. You got really good football talent on that team. How you utilize it moving forward is going to be very important. I hate to think about tearing it all down and trying to rebuild all the way through the draft, although I am a big believer in you build through the draft, of course. But you have so many solid people on that football team that I think you go in. Obviously, your number one question is, where are you going to go with the quarterback situation? We know how incredibly important that is. There is a solid draft class. We know that. You're not going to go in free agency and pick anyone up. You guys do know that, right? This needs to be a young guy coming in once again, and I know that's been a tough thing. How many quarterbacks over the years have you guys had in Cleveland? Has it been 32 over the last, I don't know how many years? It's tough, right?
I believe we're in the 40s
We
now.
Just lose count, yeah.
It's in the 40s. Well, look, I need you guys to know I was a big fan. My dad used to scout there many years ago, and I worked there. I'm always having a soft spot for this team, and I want the best for them. And I do think it's about going in there, making sure you're really dialed in. Make sure that you keep the pillar players intact. I do want to stress that. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy to get some of the players that you guys have there. Just make sure you build around that quarterback. We did it with Matt Ryan. Make sure you have the right supporting cast to bring that young quarterback along. Obviously, that's been a tough situation for you guys with Deshaun Watson.
So do you believe that, like, this next draft then, they got to find a quarterback they love? Maybe, I mean, would they wait longer than even this draft if they fell in love with a different quarterback maybe 2 years from now, someone like Arch Manning?
I'm a believer in here and now, and I think anyone in the football world right now knows not for long is even more so these days. I would look really diligently and clearly on this year's draft to put it off a year and get a guy out there, a free agent guy, or Jameis Winston, whoever it may be, to carry him through another year. That, to me, doesn't bode well for an organization. I think you need to be thinking about putting someone in there, building now. But by the way, guys, I am a big believer. You don't just sit that guy and not play him. That's a different world, a different time. Get the right people around him, be very creative and smart with your offensive scheme, and make sure that guy grows now. Again, there are some good quarterbacks in the draft.
Thomas, I don't know if you know this, but my partner and I are subtweeting each other by asking you questions about our previous fight. So I'm going to keep that going now by saying, you said some good quarterbacks in this draft. Do you see a franchise quarterback in this draft?
Oh, that's a great question. I probably haven't studied them enough to put a categorical comment that way. I do believe you can win and you can win deep with these quarterbacks. It's not as good as last year's class. I will put that in there. I do believe it's a good football quarterback class.
Did you think the Browns got enough with Za'Darius Smith in return? I mean, obviously, it's such an interesting little segment that they have to live in, where they have to try to figure out what they can keep for this year, keep for next year, while also trying to stockpile as many picks as they can.
Look, I think getting the picks together is going to be important, as you guys are talking about, for the building side. You know, our own analysis here at Sumer Sports, without getting into that a whole bunch, was basically a fifth-round pick, and being able to dabble in that area is going to be smart. He's a 30-year-old plus guy, right? Six sacks. I know going back into a situation like being in a division that he needed to be in, he's fired up about playing against Green Bay. I feel like it was a working mode for him going to Detroit. By the way, I was pretty outspoken about Detroit hopefully pulling in a guy like Max Crosby. You and I both know that was not going to happen, nor was Trey Hendrickson. I think they get a guy there that's going to be good for them. I think you guys acquire another draft pick and continue to build. I think it was a solid move.
Thomas, we were looking at the Sumer Sports Trade Explorer tool in the break there. Our producer sent a few of these over here. One, this is an awesome part of Sumer Sports, so it's great to see. Were you surprised that former Ohio State corner Marshawn Lattimore went for maybe less than I think the casual fan expected him to when he got traded to the Commanders?
I was a little bit taken aback because I think he is such a talented football player. I think he's going to go to a situation to, again, my close friend there and a guy I'm cheering for, of course, Dan Quinn, having worked with him. Dan's that kind of guy that's going to move forward and putting the right pieces there, and they needed a corner there. They're kind of middling as far as how they're doing right now in their pass defense. I think they probably might even have moved up even more for that, but a third, a fourth, I think it was a switch on a fifth and a sixth. Is that correct? I believe that was off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a sound move. I think you give the thumbs up to a team like Dan Quinn and the Commanders by pulling that one off. That's smart. I am a fan. By the way, Mickey Loomis needed to do what he was doing there in New Orleans, right? They have a lot of sort of restructuring to do with that team. So I think at times when you can get win-win, and again, remember this in the NFL, win-wins are important for doing business in the future. Of course, you don't want to necessarily screw anyone, but you have to do the deal right for your organization. You also have to be mindful of making sure that it is something that will keep open the opportunities to trade in the future between the teams. That is something that I know a lot of people don't talk about.
Thomas, you know what an important piece the play caller is to having success. You mentioned Matt Ryan. I mean, he won the league MVP. You guys went to the Super Bowl when he was the OC. Like, I mean, that was Shanahan was the OC and was just incredible. And just kind of everything took off from that point. When you look at the Browns and what they're doing between balancing out Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski, Stefanski no longer calling the plays. Are they maximizing someone like Kevin Stefanski, who is considered to be a really good play caller and getting the most out of the quarterback, and going that route?
Look, I've gone back and forth on that. We were in the Super Bowl when Dan Quinn was trying to pick the defenses and call the defenses during that time. It's never easy. I think the head coach needs to be the head coach categorically. I think he needs to have the final say in certain situations. Kevin obviously is incredibly smart. And if there's something really off, I think he should have the ability to step in there on the offensive side and put the final touch on it when need be. I don't think it's as easy to do that, you know, if you're on the other side. If you're an OC by trade and you're trying to tell a defensive coordinator what to do, it's different. Kevin knows offense. He should be able to override in the tough situations.
So with that, Thomas, there's been a lot of speculation on how much power Kevin really has, whether it's on the Deshaun decision, who decided to give up play calling duties. Is that like a conversation around the NFL still? Because I know it was, I think it was like a coaching search ago or two.
So normally in a situation, even if your GM has final football say, if Andrew Berry does in fact have that, we would always give the say to the head coach on picking his staff, calling the moves on the staff. In the end, however, if it becomes contentious and there are legitimate problems, then you sit down as the general manager, of course, the head coach, as well as your owner, and you hash it out. And ultimately, when it comes to a situation when your head coach is not making the final calls on his staff or on play calling duties, that becomes a whole different thing that you're looking at, right? That becomes a lot more of potentially a contentious situation. I don't think that is the case there, but I can't answer that, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you work for a lot of really impressive owners and powerful owners, you know, Arthur Blank, Robert Kraft. You've been around some of the best. When you see Jimmy Haslam, do you feel like he does a little bit too much meddling, or does he give his guys enough maybe leeway to go ahead and operate?
Oh, I think he gives his guys the leeway to do what they need to do. He has hired them. He's redone contracts. He believes in his guys. That's what I do know. And you're right. I have been around two very strong men in Robert Kraft and Arthur Blank. Both of those guys had strong opinions, like I am sure, you know, Mr. Haslam does and D. Haslam does, and how they approach things. But in the end, if that owner is overriding, it always becomes more of a difficult situation. I was fortunate not to run into that. I was fortunate enough, and I believe Andrew Berry is able to look at his owner in the eye and say, Mr. Haslam, this is categorically what needs to be done, and he's allowed to do what he does.
Thomas, you know, we've obviously had a couple Donnybrooks in Cleveland over the years over different quarterbacks and the Baker Wars and then the Watson Wars and all this. And I think there are some fans looking at this of the idea of drafting a quarterback, and there's some tediousness to this. So I'm just curious, like, because you've been in those rooms and you've been part of drafting the right quarterbacks, like, what does it take to get it right? What's that process look like when it goes right internally?
Look, I was very fortunate enough to be in the room and be around Tom Brady before I even got my general manager kick at the Falcons. We go and we utilize a lot of what we've seen over our experiences, right? Having been right in the middle of it, not only with the player, but also with the coaches and interacting and finding out what was right for the players in that position and what is wrong. We know categorically, again, I'm overusing that word, but we know that it starts with not necessarily the arm strength, not necessarily the ability to pass at all levels, although that is important. It's about leadership. It's about communication. It's about making sure that you make the right decisions in how you're going to throw the ball, where you're going to throw the ball. I love, in today's world, guys, you're talking about a legitimate athlete. What Dan Quinn and Adam Peters did over at Washington, to me, was vital for the success, as we know, watching it. This guy is a rare athlete there. He has the ability to throw at all levels. He's got a strong arm. He doesn't have necessarily the biggest gun in the world. He is a well-rounded quarterback. The Browns, when they are in that mode, they need to look for that well-rounded quarterback that comes to the table with everything. They can't get overly enamored with, this guy's the fastest guy on the field for a quarterback, or he can do this or that really, really well, but he doesn't have these other attributes. Having the requisite traits for a quarterback is not just one or two traits. It's a wide range of traits that need to be very, very sound. By the way, guys, the biggest mistakes that are made out there in anything, you can raise any hand, any guys who have been general managers, where mistakes come, like even in business, it is all about when you are overshooting your needs. And when you do that, you make bad decisions. And we've all can raise our hand as a general manager over many years and say, my biggest mistakes came where I force-fed an organization when I needed someone. Just, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of deep diving and thoughtfulness to pick a quarterback. And we'll see how that plays out, of course.
Thomas, one interesting situation around the Browns that they're coming into is Nick Chubb's coming off a couple major, this is his second major knee surgery that he's had. He is not playing particularly well through three games, and maybe he'll get that turned around, but he's getting older by the day, but he's a fan favorite, and there's no question around that. How would you balance out a fan favorite versus the productivity, especially in a spot where the Browns are in right now?
Yeah, I think the fan favorite thing is something that we always think about. We're mindful of it with the owner and the business side. But as general managers and head coaches and the team builders, you step back and you have to think what's best going forward, and you have to be realistic about what's going on. And if there is a downgrade, if that player is, in fact, on the tail end of something, that's a big thing we talk about often, right? I don't know where you guys were, you know, outspoken or not about, did you do enough during the trade deadline time? I think a lot of teams don't think their teams ever do enough, a lot of fan bases. The reality is it's not that easy to do that. The reality is there are a lot of players on a team that you want to keep unless they are maybe going downhill, unless they're losing their mojo, so to speak. And then you have to bite the bullet. We made a lot of moves early on in Atlanta that weren't fan favorites, and they weren't player favorites, right? But we had to suck it up, of course, and do what was best for the team. And I think that is vital. You have to have the strength and the moxie as team builders to be able to do that and not look back.
Thomas, really great stuff, man. I know it's been a while since you've been to Barberton, Ohio, but I hope you at least got some Barberton chicken when you're here, and we appreciate you for joining our show. Really great stuff.
I appreciate it. I get back there as much as I can to see my mom, so thank you.
Great stuff. Thomas Dimitrioff there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the president of football operations for Sumer Sports, former NFL GM. Thomas Dimitrioff, former NFL GM, now with Sumer Sports as the president of football operations in the previous segment. And about halfway through that interview, we stopped just subtweeting each other with questions.
That was fun, though.
It was, because we kind of get a smirk at each other and send it across the way. Listen, I
had a blast because he had no idea what was going on.
So I tried to keep him in, but I didn't want to have to like do the whole backstory and an origin story. Okay, so I guess my thing is, the way he describes it is, yeah, I think there's some quarterbacks you can win with in this class. That's not the same thing as a franchise quarterback. And I don't think you can go from Baker to Deshaun to then be like, well, we drafted this guy because we think we can win some games with him, which is Baker.
Well, I like that we were both able to be a part of that convo because I heard it a little bit differently. I heard the not for long portion of that. Mm-hmm. I heard the part where he basically said you got to make it work, even if it, franchise or not. You're going to have to try to get some quarterback you love out of this draft. But he seemed to think that there was more than enough capable, good quarterbacks in this draft.
So what about the end where he said, you can't force it? Because I also heard that one.
I was so stuck on the not for long part that maybe that part went straight by me. I'm not entirely sure.
You were so stuck on the part that he agreed with you on instead of like the other part of the argument.
You seem pretty adamant that you have to go ahead and get a quarterback as quick as you possibly can. And I don't know, maybe my headphones cut off for that last part. I'm not entirely sure.
Last 5 minutes of the interview, you think?
That was your takeaway out of that, though?
No, not of that answer. But I think like this is the trouble of, because, I mean, essentially, I think he's saying two different things.
And I think that's the interesting part about this, Nick, is that even really, really smart, and Thomas Dimitrioff is that. I mean, he is one of the smartest people in football when he was in football for...
We'd make a good GM one day of a certain team.
He was... Whoa!
I mean, in fairness, you did say you wanted a proven GM who could draft. There's like one guy out there. It's the guy we just had on.
I love that out of you.
Yeah.
I love that out of you. That's a great idea. I'd sign up for Thomas Dimitrioff in a second, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at the point that if you could sell people a kid from Barberton and a kid from Canton and Mike Vrabel, I think, one guy speaks to the... speaks to the blue collar crowd and the other speaks to the white collar crowd. They're both from here and they both have done things elsewhere. Yeah, I think that would satiate a lot of the taste out there. I think people would be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, but you see the point is that you see how hard this is and you see how hard the decisions the Browns are going to have to make are. I wonder how much of it is out of self-preservation, how much of it is because at the end of the day, they believe that that's the exact right thing that they want to be doing.
Yeah, I just think like because the danger that you're going to get into is always going to be, do you have enough?
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Talent to win with a rookie quarterback, or do you have too much talent? If again, you delay the quarterback decision, which I'm not restarting that argument. I'm simply saying if you do that, well, do you have too much talent then that you're going to be like an 8-9 team? And like, that actually is where I think the not for long thing, your argument, I can see your side of it, of you're not guaranteed anything the next year. And I think if it's these guys specifically, meaning Barry and Stefanski, yeah, I kind of think they're going to win. I think they're going to become the Saints. But to get back to it, it's going to be really hard to sell if you go from a player whose ceiling is Baker to we got to win a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson to then go back to, yeah, we're going to sell you this guy as a franchise quarterback because we drafted him, and 3 years down the road, it's Jared Goff or Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, well, that's why if you get a brand new slate of everyone, you get to go ahead and take the time that you want to take.
Will you do the tanking thing if it's Dimitrioff and Vrabel?
I just, from the job expectations point, listen, if it's Dimitrov and Vrabel, I'll do just about anything you want me to do, okay?
Like, me too.
I love that combo. Love that combo a lot.
Yeah. But I'll become the thoughtiest of thought partners.
Something we forget about in all these conversations, though, consistently, is the idea that, like, these GMs ultimately are just in this to see how long they can be employed. They know every GM eventually gets fired, and every head coach is going to eventually get fired, and you just want to make sure you get it 5 to 7 years, whatever that is, before your time is up. Because either you won a Super Bowl and you keep going, but that's such a rare thing for a lot of people. You want to extend it, and your thinking on it and how you'd be able to wipe the slate clean for a year and then go get Arch Manning if he's available, that is very appetizing to a lot of coaches and GMs, because it then lets you have a lot of time to prove your worth.
But what's interesting is you're saying if you keep Barry and Stefanski,
they're not going to have that time.
But my point is you're not getting to 12-5 next year. So 8-9 gets you fired next year with these guys. A safe quarterback or whatever.
It's not likely. Obviously, it's not likely.
But 8-9 gets you fired as bad as 3-14.
Not if you draft a new quarterback. If you draft a new quarterback, then it restarts everything. If you draft a quarterback, then you got 3 years to show that the quarterback either works or doesn't work.
I don't think that's how the NFL works in it. 3 years, 2 years.
2 years, fine. You at least get 2 years. You get a 2 year stretch there.
So you get three quarterbacks in a. Math is so hard. 7 year stretch.
That's why it seems improbable that they'll be the ones making that call if they go down this road.
I just think if your
point, but if you're them, you at least stretch it out for 2 more years. That's their. It's not a Hail Mary play, but I think in the best interest of Andrew Berry, if I was Andrew Berry's, like, I don't know, buddy that was trying to help him out and give him advice, that's one of the things that I would tell him. But I don't need to give him advice because he knows these things.
Hey, AB, it's your thought partner.
Can we be thought partners?
Yeah, I think we gotta keep it.
Can we be thought partners, AB?
Coming this fall on Fox, it's Thought Partners. Let me share my thoughts. Daryl Ryder next on 92.3 The Fan.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.